Welcome to our Together on Mission podcast, where we chat about what it looks like to apprentice ourselves to Jesus, to be with Him and like Him in each moment and in each relationship. Our host is Travis Twineman, the lead pastor at the Inland Vineyard Church in Corona, California. In this season of our podcast, we will focus on Every Day with Jesus, as we seek to begin our day with scripture, meditation, prayer, and a bit of journaling. Our goal is not to simply have the talk with Jesus in the morning and then go about our normal day, but rather to begin a conversation with Jesus that continues throughout the day.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Travis. Welcome to the party. Grab a Bible, grab a journal, grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. If you're new to the podcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're not new, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're continuing to begin a conversation with Jesus in the morning that will then last throughout the day, and then, of course, our life, and then on into eternity, because the simplicity of the gospel is that God wants to walk and talk with us in the cool of the day. And Jesus restored that. The kingdom of God is accessible, and so we get to have a conversational relationship with God. I'm talking fast because we have a lot of ground to cover in this podcast, and I don't know how I'm going to do this in 10 minutes, but I'm going to give it my very, very best shot. So I'm going to read a passage in a moment. Just in case you're new to us, here's the lay of the land. I'm going to read a passage in a moment from Mark chapter 10. I'm going to set it in its historical context, ask us a question, ask us to roll around in it for a little while as far as application, and then send us off to have a conversation with Jesus that will then last throughout the day. So I got to get rolling, got to get cracking. There's so much in this passage. It's so deep, it's so wide, it's so profound, it's so practical. It is unbelievable. So turn to Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. The title of this podcast is What God Has Joined Together. What God Has Joined Together. And before I read it, I want to ask this question. If you were to sit down with you as a marriage counselor, what action step would you encourage you to implement in your marriage today, immediately, right away? If you were to counsel you about your marriage, what one action step would you strongly encourage you to do today? That's the question. Think about it. Maybe the answer comes right into your mind and into your heart. Maybe it's an answer that you don't like. If you were going to counsel you concerning your marriage today, what one action step would you strongly, strongly encourage you to take, to do, to implement in your marriage today? That's the question. So, Mark chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came to him and asked him this question: Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Well, what did Moses command you? He replied. They said Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning, in the beginning of God's creation, God made male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. And he answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. Now, first, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are coming up to Jesus, and they're saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now, they are already trying to trap Jesus, because in the first century, there were two rabbinic schools that said two different things about marriage. There was the Shammai school, which was more conservative, and there were only a few things that you could divorce your wife for and give her a certificate of divorce. But then there was the Hillel school, which was the more liberal school concerning marriage and divorce. And so one Hillelite says you can divorce your wife if she burns your toast, in other words, for anything, and give her a certificate of divorce. So they're already trying to trap Jesus in, you know, what school are you in, you know, fitting him into their current constructs, their old wineskins. And of course, Jesus will never be fit into old wineskins because he is bringing something completely and totally brand new. So they can't really trap him. But Jesus says, well, what does Moses command you? What does Moses command you? Forget Hillel and Shammai. Let's go back to what does Moses command you? Which is also interesting because the Pharisees are always trying to pit Jesus against Moses. They're always trying to communicate that Jesus is anti-Moses, anti-Israel, anti-law, anti-temple, anti-Sabbath, but Jesus is not. Jesus is fulfilling and replacing the Mosaic law, which Jesus would say is exactly what the Mosaic law wanted and pointed to and asked for all along. And so now I am here, and what Moses's law was pointing to has now come to fulfillment. So we're no longer in the old covenant, we're in the new covenant. So let's move on. Let's get on with God's program that began in Genesis 1 and 2 that got cut short. And now that I'm here, we can get on with what the Mosaic law actually wanted us to get on with. So Jesus claims Moses, as opposed to avoiding Moses. And Jesus says, or I'm sorry, they say, yeah, well, Moses did say you could give your wife a certificate of divorce. And that's interesting too, because in the Old Testament law, it did say that you could give your wife a certificate of divorce. But what we have to understand is that in the ancient world, women were seen as property. They were seen as a man's property. That's what it was like in the ancient Mesopotamian world, the ancient Near East, Babylonia or Assyria or Egypt or wherever. And so when the Old Testament law is delivered to Israel, it actually gave rights and honor and respect to women that was never known or never seen in the ancient world. It covered so much ground for the affirmation and the love and the honor and the respect of women when you read the Mosaic Law in its historical Old Testament context. Not only that, but slaves, kids, foreigners, the poor, I mean, these groups that had no rights, no privilege, no honor, no protection, the Mosaic Law gave all of those groups protection and honor that they had never seen or experienced in the ancient world. And that's important to read the Old Testament in context. But they did say, Moses said, yeah, you could give a certificate of divorce. And then notice Jesus says in verse 5, but Moses did that because your hearts were hard. Your hearts were hard. And look what Jesus is doing there. He's saying, remember, the Mosaic law of the Old Covenant was temporary. Just like Ezekiel or Isaiah or Jeremiah said, I am going to take your hearts of stone. I'm going to give you hearts of flesh. I'm going to give you new hearts. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. So Jesus is saying what the Old Testament pointed to is indeed here. So yes, Moses said that because your hearts were hard and broken, but I have come with a cure for hard-heartedness, a new heart, so you can be alive. That's what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, I've come to make the law harder. You know, Moses said this, but I say this, it's going to be harder. No, he's saying, I'm going to give you a new heart, an inside-out life, so we can get on with God's program of life and reconciliation and love and what God has joined together. Let no one separate. And then Jesus goes back before Moses, and he says, yeah, but in the beginning, God created male and female. And right here we get Jesus' view of marriage. And by the way, this passage is about not so much about divorce. This passage is about God's view of marriage, Jesus' view of what marriage is. In the beginning, he made male and female, a male and a female. Jesus is very clear about what God did, what God intended when he meant marriage. These complementary beings in his image coming together, uniting one male and one female. And we know in the ancient world and even in the modern world, sometimes our desires do not line up with our design. Whether it's polygamy or homosexuality, and I think Jesus in grace and in compassion and love would say, yeah, in our cultures, in our brokenness, in this or in that, yeah, sometimes our desires or those things that we feel like we desire, sometimes our desires don't line up with our design. And I think Jesus in great tenderness and great love would say, when a desire does not line up with the design, go with the designer, because the designer knows. And that might be difficult, and that might be a sacrifice, and that might be hard. And Jesus would say, but if your desires do not line up with the design, God made male and female, then go with the designer and trust that the God that made you knows what brings life and flourishing. What God has joined together, let no one separate. And notice Jesus says, a man will leave his father and your mother, be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. One flesh. Now, this is unbelievable. Again, this is Jesus' view of marriage. Jesus is saying marriage between a man and a woman is not a partnership. It's not a partnership of two beings, if you will. It's not an agreement. Jesus says it's actually one flesh. It's this new person that has become one. It's an act of new creation, if you will. It's a reflection of the Trinity. God is three in one, and Jesus says a marriage is two in one. One, not a partnership, not an agreement, but a oneness that God, in a glorious act of new creation, has bound these two together to become literally one. Literally one. That's why Jesus says you can't pull together what God has. You can't un-one what God has made one. We get Jesus' view of marriage here. What God has joined together, let no one separate. And in our modern world, what is happening is the enemy is coming to steal and kill and destroy and separate and un-one what God has made one. In fact, I don't even think Jesus minds. I don't think Satan minds when we start a marriage. I think Satan loves when we start things. Yeah, start a church, start a business, start a marriage. Great, start. But then the enemy comes along and tries to rip apart, try to un-one what God has made one. And when the disciples pull Jesus into the house, they're like, okay, you're going to have to explain this to us. Wow, this is a view of marriage that isn't talked about by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everybody else. And it looks like they have, you know, lots of questions. And then Jesus says, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. Because that couple has been made one. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery because that couple has been made one. And I know we probably have lots of questions, just like the disciples had lots of questions about what Jesus is saying here with what marriage is. But I think even in the midst of all our questions, this is where we need to start. This is where we need to continue. This is where we need to end. I believe this is a word from God to our culture, to our churches. And of course, there are so many ways in which we have not been faithful to the teaching of Jesus. And there is grace, and there is forgiveness, and there is mercy, and there is compassion. And the prayer that the Lord gave us, the daily prayer, has a forgiveness clause. And Jesus gave us a forgiveness clause in the daily prayer because he knew we would need it. And thank God he did, because we do need it. But this passage is a statement of what marriage is. It is the view of marriage, the design that God has, according to Jesus, that began in Genesis 1 and 2, got cut short by sin, and now has been and is being put back together. Lifelong, male plus female, not entering a partnership, not entering agreement, but becoming one. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, you remember the question I asked you at the beginning. If you were your marriage counselor and you were counseling you about your marriage, what one thing would you say? Do this. Take this action step. What one thing would you do to see your marriage become a little bit closer to what it is that God has called it to be? So, what is that? Is it time to risk? Maybe listen first when you want to speak, or risk to speak because you haven't spoken? Is it time to give up something? To give that up? Is it time to pursue? Is it time to give space? Is it time to think the best? Is it time to forgive? Is it time to go the extra mile or turn the other cheek? Is it time to forgive? Is it time to die to self? Is it time to have that conversation? Is it time to be a bit more kind, or maybe a bit more honest? Is it time to maybe do the dishes? Is it time to plan something creative or romantic? Is it time to go buy some lingerie and surprise your spouse? Is it time to write a note and slip it under a pillow? Is it time to think, what if you were starting with Jesus' view of marriage? Being a counselor and saying, this is the one thing I would encourage you to do, if you were going to counsel you about one thing to do to make your marriage a little bit more of what you believe God and you desire your marriage to be, what would that be? Have a conversation with Jesus. Ask that question. Let him speak. What God has joined together, let no one, let nothing in all creation separate it. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by it today. If you would like to find out any more information about the Inland Vineyard Church or our services, download our app, which you can find in the Google Play or the App Store, or check out our website at www.inlandvineyard.org.